Genesis 32, beginning at verse 24, the Word of God. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And then the verses 30 and 31 will be our text for this evening. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Here ends the reading of the Word of God. Amen. Beloved congregation, when something important happens in our lives, when there is a before that something important and there is an after that something important, then we are inclined to mark that moment with a special marker. Perhaps we make a note in our journal. And then the next year we remember, especially that occasion, when this or that happened. Sometimes we even mark it by a special name, such as Ebenezer, "Hitherto the Lord hath helped us," or Rehoboth, "The Lord has made room for us." And so we have our names. How about Jacob? Here he has met God. The Lord has wrestled with him, and he with the Lord, through the night till the breaking of the dawn. After this, his life would never be the same. He would forever be changed. There is a Jacob before this night, and there is a Jacob after this night. And we might ask Jacob, as it were, tonight, "Jacob, do you have a name for this? Jacob, how will you from now on remember this night?" Do you see Jacob going from this early morning, halting across the Jabbok River, back to his family, into a new day? Jacob, what has happened? Maybe that's what Rachel asked when he came back to his wives. "We were worried about you, that Esau had found you, or maybe one of his sons. Father, why are you walking like that?" Or maybe one of the boys saying, "Father, why is your face so happy?" Or maybe another one, "Dad, aren't you afraid anymore now?" Jacob looks at his family. And through our text this night, as it were, he looks at you and me, and he says, "I have a name for what happened that night. It's called Peniel, the face of God. I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. That's what we will listen to this evening. Our theme is Peniel, seeing God's face. And we'll see, first of all, that that banishes deep darkness, evokes holy wonder, and makes one halt towards heaven. So Peniel, seeing God's face. It banishes deep darkness. It evokes holy wonder. And it makes one halt towards heaven. First of all, it banishes deep darkness. After the Lord blessed Jacob with that enriching blessing, as we heard this morning, Jacob breaks forth into a joyful retrospect, and with good reason calls that place Peniel, where the Lord had wrestled with him, and he with the Lord, where he had asked for the Lord's blessing, and the Lord had given him his blessing. Peniel, the Hebrew name, means face of God, and is an abbreviated form of I have seen God face to face. Now, children, you know from the Bible, don't you, that the Bible says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, what happens if you take a very bright light with you into a very dark night or into a very dark place, and all of a sudden you turn on the light? What happens to the darkness? The darkness goes away, doesn't it? It's gone. And that's how it was for Jacob in Peniel. The face of God in that first instance banished that deep darkness that had been there over his life. Now, how did the Lord do that? First of all, we see the light of God's person here. Think of that distinction. The light of God's person, first of all. Peniel. The face of God. 20 years earlier, there was Bethel, which means the house of God. Now, 20 years later, Peniel, the face of God. Now the Lord revealed himself to Jacob, showed to Jacob who he is. In Bethel, he said that he would preserve him, protect him. That already was a great blessing. Bethel, the house of God. But the face of God is a greater blessing. Peniel. You could say Bethel, that's the promise of God given to Jacob. Peniel, you could say, is the fulfillment of that promise of God. Bethel means house of God. That's the room that God gave to Jacob. But Peniel, the face of God, is the filling of that house of God, of that room that the Lord God gave to Jacob. Or to put it still differently, Bethel speaks of the work of the Lord. Bethel speaks indeed of the person of the Lord. And then you could say that Bethel focuses particularly on the gift that the Lord gives. But Peniel focuses on the giver himself. Bethel, as I said, is a great blessing of the Lord. But Peniel is an even greater blessing of the Lord. Over the years, many ministers or Bible commentators have made the point that those two accounts in the Bible of Bethel and Peniel show that there is such a thing as a growth, a progress in the life of faith, a progress in the work of the Lord in a person's life. And that the Lord today is also willing to lead his children on and on, You could say it in New Testament terms, so that they grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because you could say that Bethel speaks of an initial relationship or initial bond to the Lord and Jacob. But Peniel speaks of Jacob as being justified from his sins, and Jacob going on from here as a sinner, justified by the Lord. So that's first of all the light of God's person. That removes, that banishes that deep darkness. But then secondly, the light of God's face, because that's what he singles out. Jacob asked him, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." Remember this morning we heard that too. Jacob, as it were, tries to pry into the secret of God. But Jacob may not yet know the name of the Lord. But he may see the face of the Lord. That's a great, rich privilege. The Lord, as it were, says to Jacob, "Jacob, the time has not yet come for the full revelation. You are not yet ready for the full revelation of mine to you. It's sufficient for you now to know that you receive it from me. The important thing is that you believe it and in that way experience my word of blessing. But my name at this moment is too deep, too high, too incomprehensible for you. But my face I show to you. That's most important now." And that's a wondrous thing, is it not, congregation? Not to know yet the full revelation of the name of the Lord, and yet to see the face of the Lord. That the Lord wants to show his face. And you think of that, that actually you and I have grown up with words that maybe for years we never understood. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance. That has another significance, and someday we'll go into detail in that regard, and give thee peace. But the face of the Lord, thus the Lord wants to reveal himself. So that's secondly, the light of God's person and the light of God's face banishes that deep darkness. But there is also yet another aspect here to this light of God's face, and that's the light of acceptance, of God's acceptance. Because you see, prior to Peniel, prior to this encounter with the angel of the Lord who wrestled with him, and Jacob wrestled with him, Jacob had one thing on his mind, and that was his brother Esau. How can I appease my twin brother Esau? How can I get to see his face? And will he then accept my face? That's what Jacob was focused on. His relationship, Esau, Jacob, Jacob, Esau. And that needed work, he knew that. He had stolen from him. But after the Lord God wrestled with him and said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And Jacob said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And the Lord blessed him there. He no longer speaks about Esau's face and his own face, but he says, "I have seen God face to face. That's the most important thing to me." And that's the progress, you see. That's the blessing that the Lord was pleased to give to Jacob. "I have seen God face to face. I, as it were, have looked him in the eye. And the Lord was willing to give it to me. And what a rich privilege that is. It banishes the deep darkness of my sinful, my self-righteous, my deceitful past. I've seen God face to face. The Lord has shown His face to me. Oh, how concerned I was to appease Esau and that I might find acceptance with Esau. But I have seen God now face to face. And therefore, the darkness is banished. And therefore, Peniel is the high point in his life. Congregation, I will not say that the Lord's Supper celebration is a Peniel to every communicant or always to every communicant. But I do say that the Lord's Supper is a high point. When you think of the essence of the Lord's Supper, if you were this morning at the table of the Lord, and you look back now this evening, don't you agree that there were shown to you in the sign and the seal of bread and wine the essence of things? What was it that you saw in that bread broken, and you took it and you put it to your mouth? And that wine, that cup, did you see something of the face of God? The Lord's Supper is not merely that we look who else is at the table of the Lord, or that we focus on our own personal circumstances, but that we see the Lord in the signs. His broken body, His shed blood. And that's a rich blessing, to see the Lord and to know that in Him the deep darkness of your life is being banished. And to have confidence in the Lord and to entrust yourself to the Lord. And more and more, I've seen God face to face. Now that in the second place evokes a holy wonder. Because Jacob adds, I have seen God face to face, and he adds, and my life is preserved. Do you hear the wonder in his words? The amazement, the marvel. How is it possible? Whenever a person meets with God, as Jacob does here, and he comes away from that meeting with God and receiving a blessing of God, then there is wonder in a person's heart. A holy wonder. How can it be that God looked upon me, Jacob, a sinner, and showed me His face and preserved my life? A holy wonder. And that's a wonder, first of all, for the life that he has now. You see, by all rights, Jacob had deserved death. But the Lord, this is how Calvin puts it, the Lord graciously snatched him from death and granted him life. Now, you know that in the Old Testament there was the belief that no man could see God face to face and live. God spelled it out a number of times in Genesis, Genesis 16, here Genesis 32, in Exodus chapter 32, Exodus 20 as well, or Exodus 33, I think it's spelled out, the book of Judges, in the account of Gideon. Judges chapter 13 with regard to the Manoah, the father of Samson. But Jacob understands this. I've seen God face to face, and yet my life has been preserved. What a gracious gospel that is, congregation. How is it possible that God can look upon a Jacob and Jacob look God in the eye, and yet his life is preserved? That can only be because of the great son of David, who would be born in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ, from whom God hid his face, from his own beloved son, especially in the 3 hours of darkness on the cross of Golgotha, as we heard this morning. So that those who really deserve death might graciously be spared and receive life, not on account of anything in them, but for Jesus' sake, and might be able to say with Jacob, my life has been preserved. That's a remarkable thing if you think in terms of who Jacob was before this moment. Jacob does not come out of this wrestling match and say, well, I was stronger than whoever it was that wrestled with me. No. My life is preserved. How can you put this in other words? Can you not say this? Is that what Jacob is saying? It's all of grace. Do you sense the wonder in Jacob? My life is preserved. How is it possible? I face to face with God, and I am still alive. Congregation, a mark of grace is this, that our heart is filled with wonder over the fact that we are still in the land of the living, and that God has not entirely destroyed us as we deserve. Seen him face to face, Jacob says, the face of him whose eyes are purer than to behold iniquity. And he asked me for my name, and I had to say it. And yet he showed me his face. So Jacob, first of all, did not boast in his wrestling, but was engulfed in holy wonder. And secondly, wonder in Jacob because of the peace that he has with God. And that he has now also, you could say, with himself. And peace also with Esau. And peace also with the guiding hand of God in his life. And how important that is to have peace, first of all, with God, and then peace with ourselves. For how often don't we find within ourselves, within a conflict, and then to also find peace with your brother, your neighbor, and peace with the guidance of God in your life. Well, here Jacob receives the secret of true peace. You know that we congregation at the time of Thanksgiving and then all of December hear a great deal of talk and songs about peace on earth. And that especially in view of the war in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and that whole terrorism in this world, and in many other places. And we will pray for it as well, indeed. But we will find peace only there, where we together seek the Lord in his grace, for the sake of Jesus Christ, and from out of that peace, his peace, live then with one another in this world. But if we do not seek that peace, if we are averse to peace with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it cannot be any other way in this world than that there will be more terrorism and more war. But here is the secret of true peace. The Lord is pleased to give that peace in Jacob's soul as a strength, as a power to journey on, and as a stimulus for the life of obedience before the Lord. But he can only receive it from God. And then indeed, in that peace with God, face the future. My life is preserved. And there until we celebrated the Lord's Supper, did we not? That's the blessing of the Lord's Supper, when you think of it, in order that you may go on in that peace. I hope that it evoked holy wonder in you. We don't celebrate the Lord's Supper simply to go through the motion of the Lord's Supper, but in order to partake of this peace and live in this peace by the blood of the cross of Jesus in a fighting world with the heart filled with holy wonder. And that finally this evening congregation makes one halt towards heaven. Jacob in retrospect thinks of Peniel. He sees a way to the future. Because Jacob does not stay in Peniel. He must journey on. And we read it in the next verse. That verse 31 contains two very lovely points. First of all this, I quote, as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him. The sun rose upon him. Think of that, Christian. The light that you began to see when first you met the Lord. That breaking of a new day. That day will never end. The old covenanters used to speak about sunshine country. And that's ultimately where it all will lead. The breaking of a new day. Not that we experience it always. But it's still true. Here at the close of Peniel, Jacob, in a sense, is a broken man. He is halting upon his thigh. But the sun is rising upon him and shining upon him. And that's God's way with him for the future. The rising of the sun and shining upon him is, as it were, God's outward confirmation of what has happened to him in that night and at the breaking of the day. He goes from Peniel in the light of and the knowledge of a fresh experience of the grace of God in his life. And Jacob experiences the rising of the sun upon him as coming from the Lord as a gift. Oh, one day, not now, beloved, especially for some of us. But then that day will be a full day. And there will be no more night there. And you may be there where the everlasting sun will forever be shining over all his people. When all the weary night is past, and I awake with thee to view the light that is in Jesus Christ. Then I shall be satisfied. So that first of all, the sun rose upon him, but at the same time, he halted upon his thigh. Do you understand it, congregation, if I say that every true Christian has some such mark in his life? If God's people could speak openly this night, then each of them might tell us about a certain mark that God left in their body or in their soul. Maybe a memory or a burden. And from that moment on, they have been halting alone. It has struck me in my ministry throughout the years, congregation, that I met many of God's children, and that it seems almost each of them, sooner or later, would tell me of a halting upon their thigh, a cross in their life. And of some, you knew it the first time you came there, and you saw the man limping, or the woman limping. Others would hide it for some time. And one day, they would speak of a cross. Ever since the Lord did a work of grace in their lives. That's what we see here in Jacob. When we meet God face to face as Jacob, it leaves a humbling reminder in our life. But it is the way to the future. Jacob is reminded that life here in this world will be and will remain imperfect. But it will be well, for light is risen upon him. Jacob must remain humble, but he may walk or limp in the light. And those limbs, if I may use that terminology, those limbs that the Lord gives his people, you could call them the badges that the Lord gives them. It's a reminder from the Lord not to run so quickly into sin. Jacob, with this limping of his thigh, would be reminded again and again of his initial inclination, his natural inclination, to deceive somebody. Take something he shouldn't. Go somewhere he shouldn't. God had made it so in Jacob's life that he could no longer rush headlong into sin without some caution, some warning. Jacob, remember, I touched your thigh. And you could also say that those limbs afford an occasion to speak of the Lord, to witness of the face of God in your life. Somebody may ask you, why is this in your life? And then you can say, you know, one night in my life, one year in particular, God met me. And he left me humble, that I might witness of him. And I learned the lesson. Now let me read verse 31 again. The sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Those two. And do you see that there is a tension between those two? Attention between what the Lord gives in terms of grace and what the Lord leaves in terms of a cross, a trial. But it is a rich message. Jacob, go on limping, but you may limp in the light. And if in heaven, congregation, we may, as it were, one day see Jacob, and we will we not, if we may go to heaven. Is it not true? Does Jesus not say in Matthew 8, speaking to the Jews, when a Gentile displayed faith, I have found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Then he said, "And I say unto you, they shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit in my Father's kingdom with Abram and Isaac and Jacob. But if that day may come, that you may see Jacob in the kingdom of God, then you will see Jacob sitting. And if you see him walking, you will see him no longer limping." None of God's people there will be halting any longer. Mephibosheth will be walking. All God's saints will be walking. Their heads aloft, their countenances beaming in the light of God. Think of it, Christian, who are suffering today with the thorn that God has given you or left you in your flesh. One day the thorn will be removed. Do you hear this, who are now grieving under a severe trial? Do you hear it? This is the way to the future. There are cares, there are trials. And all of God's people have cares and trials. But the light is risen upon Peniel, in order that we might journey on in that light. The light is risen upon Peniel in order that Jacob might be reminded of what happened there, but at the same time might keep the Lord in view all the days of his life. And it is not so that Jacob did that every day. Jacob also was a sinner after Peniel. After this height of Peniel, he often came down from that height. But here, he is at that height. And he can look back. The reality of grace was there, because the Lord was there, and my life was preserved. And every time again, the Lord reminded him of it, till his very deathbed, where he cries out, "I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord." Jacob, the God of Jacob, whom he confesses here so richly, and he says, "I've seen him face to face, and my life is preserved." You could say that in Peniel you have already the perspective of what the Bible calls Advent. The light is risen upon Jacob, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon Jacob. It's spelled out more fully in the prophet Isaiah, but it's already here. More fully upon the church, the children of God, but already here. But they must all in this life go the way of the cross. But in the end, the light shall triumph, and they shall face the full day and bask in that great morning. Congregation, do you know the God of Jacob? Do you live out of this God of Jacob? Is this faith of Jacob, this rich experience given to him in Peniel, whereby the Lord drew a line through his sinful past, and he gave him the light to shine upon him, and a way to tread into the future, is this faith of Jacob your faith? It's an important question in the post-communion service. And when we think of the communion service, we always need to think of at least two angles, perhaps more. But let me single out two angles. On the one hand, as we look back to the communion service this morning, we can be thankful to the Lord for the fact that there were brothers and sisters, older ones and younger ones, who came looking unto the Lord for blessing. But on the other hand, we are also reminded on Communion Lord's Day of the imperfection in the congregation. There are also brothers and sisters who live without coming to the table of the Lord, in spite of the word of the Lord that they have heard in their life year after year. And perhaps some because of indifference or being unrepentant. Others perhaps because having no liberty, not daring to come to the table of the Lord. How can that be broken through in a person's life? I, as a minister of the gospel, cannot break through that. I can only continue to proclaim the word of God and say to those who did not partake of the table of the Lord, have you today given account to the Lord of it? And could you? Would the God of Jacob not be pleased to give you the liberty to come solely on the basis of Christ's work? In the way of confessing your sin and persevering in prayer? Or do you think more highly of yourself and less highly of the Lord? Should that then not change? Think less highly of yourself and more highly of the Lord, in order that the Lord Himself may break through in your life, through that what has continued to be or has arisen as an impediment to you, and bring you there where you belong, in order that you too may confess, I have seen God face to face and my life has been preserved. But if you did come to the table of the Lord this morning, I ask you, did you see the face of the Lord? And did you receive the blessing of the Lord, the forfeited blessing, but surprising blessing, and the enriching blessing? Perhaps the one time there is more the emphasis on this aspect, and another time on another aspect, because there are those various aspects in the blessing of the Lord, union and communion with the Lord, or forgiveness and renewal, assurance and expectation. But the important thing is that you may know that the Lord Himself is there. And then in the weeks to come, I do not know what situation you will be facing, what I will be facing. But this God of Jacob, the God of Peniel, is still here, is the same. And the way to that future is a blessed way. It's a way that leads to the celestial city, to heaven. It's not an easy way, not for Jacob either, but nonetheless a way upon which the light of God's face and of God's grace is shining. Could you journey on then in that way and make some progress? What about others who do not know the God of Jacob and do not have the faith of Jacob, who have continued to live their own life, younger ones or older ones, without seeking the Lord? Maybe you have been walking quite confidently, without a limp. And maybe you have thought to yourself, oh, always that emphasis on limping in church, I hate it. All those poor people limping. But remember, those poor people are halting towards heaven. And you are walking confidently without a limp towards hell. There you will not see the Lord as your Savior. You will meet Him as your judge. And your life shall not be preserved, shall not be spared. Realize that today. The gospel has been proclaimed to you in an audible and a visible way. You've heard that with the Lord there is a fullness of salvation. The Lord has called sinners in a clear and a gracious way. How will anyone escape if he neglects so great a salvation? But if today you have seen this Lord for a first time or afresh, then you can go on in His strength. Then you will receive strength from Him, and you will speak of Him. Indeed, life for a Christian is not easy. Surely not for a Christian in the year 2008. With 2009 to come very shortly in this nation of America, in which at one time the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ was clearly proclaimed and believed, embraced by many. But today the gospel of Jesus in this country is distorted and ignored in an abominable way. And it is of utmost importance that we hold on to the true and the pure gospel. Live out of it. Speak of it. That we be strengthened by it and go the way to the future during the remaining days that the Lord still gives us, while looking to the return of the great Son of Jacob with the clouds. We look forward to that great morning, and we will halt towards heaven. I close with one of the Scottish paraphrases of a scripture passage in Hosea that Douglas MacMillan quotes in his little booklet, Wrestling with God. Here it is. Long hath the night of sorrow reigned. The dawn shall bring us light. God shall appear, and we shall rise with gladness in His sight. Our hearts, if God we seek to know, shall know Him and rejoice. His coming like the morn shall be, like morning songs His voice. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, bless Thy word of Jacob at Peniel and from Peniel to our hearts. And grant that what we heard a week ago, this morning and this night, may ever stay in our conscience, our memory, our heart. It is time for Thee to work, O Lord, in this congregation. We are so in need. Grant the birds not to pick away this seed of Thy word. Be Thou the after wrestler with us, O God, and make us for a first time or afresh, restless. I will not let Thee go, except Thou bless us. and then to confess our name, Jacob, but to find thy blessing, and the sun to rise upon us as we halt, may it be, towards heaven. And anyone walking without a limp towards hell, save them, O God, and to thee shall be glory. Prepare us for a day of thanksgiving. And grant that the day of thanksgiving be a day of thanksgiving unto thee for the sake of him who bore thy curse, but also gave thanks in the night in which he was betrayed. Oh, for a life of thanksgiving, we pray, however much limping. And to thee shall be praise forever. In Jesus' name, amen.